The reading this evening is from Revelation 4, 1 to 11, the whole chapter. From the NIV version, the throne in heaven. After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also, before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and behind. The first living creature was like a lion, the second was like an ox. The third had the face of a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honour and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives for ever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives for ever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." This is the word of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for Paul. I just pray your blessing and anointing on him. May he speak your words to us so that our hearts are moved and our lives are changed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Good evening. I used to be pretty good at mending our old cars when we had, in the old days when we had Triumph Heralds. Who remembers Triumph Heralds? Oh, one or two, yes, good. And we got to be dab hands, my wife and I, at replacing the differential on the back axle, where we just go and get another one from a scrapyard and put it in. We got pretty good. We did several. And if there was a problem with the engine, I could lift the bonnet. Well, you don't lift a bonnet on a Triumph Herald. You pivot it forwards, as Alex is explaining over there. And then you could either clean the spark plugs or change the points or do all the other things. Nowadays, I look under the bonnet. I don't recognize anything. To start with, it's got a hybrid engine, the one we've got. So it's all computer controlled. And anyone who fixes cars these days, not so much brings a toolbox as brings a laptop to try and diagnose what it is. These days I'm hopeless. I don't understand half of what's going on under there. I open the bonnet to fill up the screen wash. That's about as far as I go. And yet, the car goes. It gets us from A to B. And I don't perhaps need to know how it works, just to know that it does work and have faith that it will get me from A to B. And it does. What I do is get in it and drive it. I trust it. Today is Trinity Sunday, as you've heard. And you've no doubt heard about the Trinity, the three in one, One in three, one God in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three but one. Anybody understand the Trinity? I can't see any hands up for that one, no. In the same way that I don't understand fully how a car works, but I can get in and drive it, so I don't fully understand the Trinity, but I believe in it. Perhaps I don't need to fully understand every part of the Trinity to trust in this Trinitarian, this triune God. So I believe in a car to drive it, I believe in the Trinity, even though I don't completely understand it. And why do we celebrate the Trinity particularly this week? Well, it's the week after Pentecost. Last week we were enjoying baptisms here in church. That was wonderful. And Pentecost is about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in a special way. Not the birth of the Holy Spirit, obviously, but the outpouring of it in a different way. And these baptisms, that's one of our aims, one of our ends as a church, isn't it? To see people come to faith and then be baptized. That's wonderful. On the other hand, for the one baptized, of course, that's only the beginning. It's not an end. It's really the start of a lifelong journey with Jesus, and that's great. Remember, Jesus' last words on earth to his followers were, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." There's the Trinity. The disciples knew about Jesus because they just spent 3 years with him. They knew a little bit about the Father because Jesus had spoken to them a bit about the Father. And now at Pentecost, they'd had this wonderful outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They knew a little bit more about the Holy Spirit. So this was a good time, just after Pentecost, to think about the Trinity, which is why we have it this week. I know the concept of Trinity is not an easy one, this three and one and one and three. There's a number of illustrations I've heard that might help you. None of these is perfect, and that I can tell you. There is no perfect analogy or illustration to show what the Holy Spirit and the Trinity is all about. Try these three, three or so. First one, I've got a picture, is a picture of an egg, I hope. Can you see it? There it is. Sorry, it's all on that one. Picture of an egg. Now, an egg is the shell, the yolk, and the white. So it's got three parts, but it's only one thing. It's three things, and yet it's one thing. If that helps you, there's an illustration of the Trinity. And the second one is water, which can be frozen in ice, or it can be heated to steam. Now, all these three are still water, but they're in three different forms. So here is this one thing in three different appearances, three different forms. Okay, if that helps you, that might help you think about the Trinity a bit. Third one. Anybody know what that shape is called? No, I didn't either. It's a triquetra. There you are, a triquetra. And it tries to show the three parts, but it's all one piece of material. It's actually one thing, but it's folded such that it's in those three parts. So as it were three, but as it were one. If that helps you, there's a help for the Trinity. I've seen others which include the clover leaf, which is one leaf but has three parts. And quite a nice one, three musical notes making a chord. So there's three separate notes, but actually what you hear is the chord, is one thing, one and three. But as I say, no illustration is perfect. The one I like best is this one, which is the electric bar fire. I don't know if you've come across that one at all. You've got the red that you can see, which is Jesus, effectively. You've got the heat, which you can feel, which is the Holy Spirit. You feel the Holy Spirit. And there's power behind it to make it work, which is God, the power behind it all. So there's one fire, but yet it's these three parts to it. Anyway, if any of those help you at all, then there you are. I've given you some help, some illustrations. But in the end, there isn't really any one parable, analogy, illustration that will fully explain the Trinity, I'm afraid. Our reading, you may have been surprised to have a reading on Trinity Sunday from Revelation, but I think it's probably a good one. It's the last book in the New Testament, Revelation. The first three chapters are fairly straightforward, especially two and three, which are letters to the churches, the seven churches that John wrote. Then we get into chapter four, and we're definitely in the area of dreams and visions and not quite sure what's going on. You know, sometimes if you have a dream and you try and remember it and tell someone else about it, it becomes more peculiar the more you say, doesn't it? And you don't even understand it after a bit. And it's very strange to understand what it's about. Maybe that's a bit like this. Most of Revelation, in fact, is John's dream or vision or picture that he was given. He was exiled for his faith and was on the island of Patmos for his faith, but that's where he was. And this book that he wrote is sometimes called the Apocalypse, which it's not about tragedy and that sort of thing, disaster, but it simply means a revealing. Apocalypse means revealings, hence Revelation, that's why it's called that. The Greek word has an interesting use in the means of taking off a lid to have a look what's inside, that sort of revealing. So it's taking off the lid. If I can stretch that analogy a bit, it's a bit like opening the bonnet of a car and seeing what's inside. It's a revealing in that way as well, although the Greeks, I don't think, used it in that way. Anyway, so first in this reading, we get a picture of an open door, heaven's door. It says, "And after this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven." Something intriguing about a sort of half-open door, isn't there? There's a human urge to see what's going on the other side of the door. John was actually invited to go in and enter and see what was happening. And what he saw there was first a magnificent throne on which, in his words, someone was sitting. Didn't say who, just there was somebody sitting on that throne. If this is heaven, you can probably guess who that might be. And then surrounding this one throne were 24 other thrones, on which were seated these 24 elders, each with a golden crown. This is becoming a bit more like a film set, isn't it, in a way, I think. And then there were the four living creatures, like no creatures we've ever seen before. Each had six wings. I'm not sure we have creatures in the world that have six wings. And so many eyes. Very strange. And then they all started singing. Now, this film set must be a musical, I think. So John wasn't sure what was going on. I'm sure that's true. But this is an image of heaven with the three-in-one God himself, the 24 elders perhaps representing humankind, the Christian population, and then the four creatures maybe to represent the rest of creation, the known, the natural world. So here is the whole of creation recreated. Eden restored, as somebody once called it. Now John, as I say, doesn't fully understand this, and neither do we. He sees his dream, he reports it, and he leaves it up to the reader to interpret it for themselves. And what are we to make of all this? Can we understand and interpret it by ourselves in this modern age as to what it means? Or do we need some help? Going back for a moment to cars, and having said our cars always got us from A to B, we were in Tesco car park a couple of weeks ago, and we'd finished the shopping and were about to get back in the car, put the shopping in and go home, and then in fact come here to the Wednesday service at 10 o'clock. And my magic button that presses the key to open the car didn't work. So I thought, maybe the battery's gone. I tried Susan's, hers didn't work either. So both of us were there with a key that didn't work. We had the little mechanical key, so we could actually get in the car, but when you tried to get it to work, nothing happened. All the gauges flashed about and nothing started. What are we going to do? So I lifted the bonnet, more in hope than expectation, tried a few things that I didn't know what I was doing. What do I do? I know, I'll ring the RAC. Members of the RAC will ring them. They were very good. In less than 40 minutes, our friend Russell turned up and almost immediately diagnosed the problem. "It's your battery," he said. Now, this is a hybrid Toyota, so I knew it had a great big powerful battery under the bonnet, which is one half of the engine. I thought, oh, this is going to be expensive. And he said, no, no, not that battery, the one in the boot. What battery in the boot? I didn't know about that one. I didn't know it had another battery. And the other battery was the one that keeps all the others going and working and started. So that was the one that had gone, and that was dead, apparently. So Russell rang all around the place and tried to find another one, and he couldn't find one to start with. It's an unusual battery, he said. That was very cheering, I thought. Thank you very much. The words you don't want to hear. But Russell, bless him, went the extra mile. He wasn't due to be on shift the following day until 11 o'clock, but he changed his shift to start at 9 o'clock, because we had another appointment to go to the following day. So he could start at 9, and he knew somewhere near where he lived to be able to go and buy the exact battery. He'd worked out that they'd got one, and he could bring it to us that following day. So there and then, he managed to get our car started with a big battery pack that he put in the boot, followed us home to make sure we got there, and then said, we'll see you tomorrow. And tomorrow morning, as he said, there he was, soon after 10, fixed the car. Thank you, Russell. Thank you, the RAC. Why am I telling you this? Well, the point is this. Sometimes we don't understand what's going on, and we need help. Perhaps it's a problem we've got, but we need help with it. And we could try and do it on our own. But again, like John, not quite knowing what was going on, we get in positions like that. We don't know what's happening. What is this? How can I do something about this? And it happens in our Christian life as well. It's no good opening the bonnet and staring at what's in there, partly because your problem's in the boot. It's not in the bonnet, under the bonnet at all. The lesson for us, I think, is that we can't live this life entirely on our own, no solitary life. We're not designed to be solitary. We're made to live in community. We need each other. Even God is three in one. He lives in community, as it were, with himself, those three parts of the Trinity. And the same is true of us. We need one another. I've spent a lifetime sorting out computers, and nowadays I try and help people with their computers. Russell, he's good at doing with cars, and he does that for people who don't have a clue about cars. But to get Russell to help me, I had to admit that I couldn't do it myself. I couldn't fix it on my own. I needed someone to help me. So I had to call him. I still don't fully know how a hybrid car works, but I now know it's got another battery in the boot, which is a step forward, isn't it? That's something at least. And all because I swallowed my pride and asked for help. I know I can't fix it myself, but I know a man who can. Sorry, that's the AA advert, not the RAC one, sorry. Anyway, similarly, the book of Revelation is a tough read on your own. You need help with it, we all do. There are books, there are commentaries, or if in doubt, ask Will or Max or anyone really, but not me. Chris, he'll be good. Anyone here will be able to, I hope, help you with the book of Revelation. But we are here for each other, that's what it's about. Maybe you're in that position of not quite knowing what to do at the moment. Maybe you've come to a point in your Christian life that seems to have stopped, you don't know what to do, who to help, who to ask to help. And you've probably prayed about it, and maybe nothing yet has happened. Perhaps you need to ask, as I did, a trusted friend for assistance, because we're here for each other. I'm just coming into land, so if the band would like to start coming up, and let me give you one final thought about open doors, because that's where the reading started. I think sometimes we're not willing to share our own faith with others because we don't know enough about it. We might get an awkward question that we can't answer, so we don't even start. We might begin to talk to someone, a friend, but not share our faith with them, because we don't quite know where that's going to lead. So we're a bit unsure about that. And I get that. I understand, you know, when none of us is perfectly sure about the whole, you know, all the questions we're going to get, be able to answer them. But just as I can drive a car without knowing everything about how it works, so we can prepare to share what we do know with other people as we meet them, friends and family even. We can do that. What you can do is tell other people about your experiences of God, what's happened to you, how it's helped you, both some time ago and maybe even only last week. Your experience of meeting God and sharing things, how it made you feel, what effect it had on you. And that kind of testimony is far better, far more powerful than trying to explain the Trinity to someone, say, because none of us know about that, and probably more effective and more fun, let's face it. And thinking of doors, you might find yourself talking to your friend, actually pushing at an open door. It's not the barrier you might have expected, that an open door is there, and the person you've been talking to is much more ready to listen than you expected. That can happen. Most of us are not extroverts. I was talking to Chris about this earlier. We're not extroverts. We're not even evangelists. But we do have a story to tell. We are witnesses. That's the important bit. And the Holy Spirit is already helping us before we open our mouth to be able to talk to that person, so that we will almost certainly get a fair hearing and maybe even a positive response. Let's get in that car and drive it. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for all that your word gives us, some of which we don't understand. And so we pray you would help us to learn more about it by reading regularly and finding out what it is you're trying to get us to know and to hear about and learn about. And help us when we get into conversation with other people that don't know you, that we may be able just to share our own experience of you in a way that is normal and natural and easy and not forced. Give us that courage that enables us to share our experience of you in a way that they can hear and understand and perhaps begin to turn to you. So give us that courage. Thank you for the opportunities you already send us. May we grab them and turn them to your advantage, that we may see people come to faith. So bless all that we do in this coming week, that we may seize those opportunities you give and turn them, that we may tell of our faith and our own experience of you and see people move towards you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.